Marquis Podcast. We're so excited today. We are here to talk about the new show for Hallmark Movies. And now we're talking about When Hope Calls, a spinoff. And this is our little preview that we're doing, like we like to do with all the television shows. And I'm Rachel, and I'm so excited to have a new guest co-host today. We have Cammie Clements from, she has a blog, hookedhardy.com. And Cammie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for inviting me. Hi, everybody.
Yes. So why don't you take a second and introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us a little bit about how you got started watching When Calls the Heart and Hallmark Channel.
Okay. Well, I'm Cammie Clements. I'm from Texas. I am a mom of four, two boys and two girls. I have my youngest, his name is Jonathan, and we call him Jack, and I plead the fifth on that one. I discovered When Calls the Heart when I was pregnant with my third. I had horrible insomnia, and so I was watching Netflix, and I had seen commercials for When Calls the Heart, and I told my husband, because we were in the middle of watching Once Upon a Time, at that point, and I looked at him, and I looked at the TV, and I said, I'm not getting started on that show. And he said, why not? It looks like something you would enjoy. I said, no, I'm not going to be a slave to another TV show. I'm not doing it. And then, of course, I couldn't sleep one night, and I was feeling horribly sick, and I finished watching something, and When Calls the Heart came up in my suggestion. And so I said, okay, fine. And so I clicked on it. And then I watched, and I said, ooh, next episode. And then I watched, and then I said, okay, next episode.
So where did you start watching? How many seasons had gone
through? I started right before season three. So I binged watched season one and season two, and then I watched the first two episodes of season three on demand, and then I was caught up.
Okay. I watched four seasons.
Oh.
Yeah, and then we covered season five and covered season six.
So you came late in the game.
Yeah, I was pretty late in the game. I never watched the show. And so what was it that really appealed to you about the show?
Well, number one, I'm a very conservative person, and I love clean family entertainment. And I also am a huge hopeless romantic. Uh-huh. So when you put clean media and romance together, you got me hook, line, and sinker. I was completely gone. And I remember I wrote on Facebook, I discovered the most beautiful show today. Maybe it won't win any Emmys. Yeah, it's a little cheesy sometimes, but it is incredible. And everyone out there needs to watch it.
Yeah. It's especially, I felt like the first couple seasons were a little slow for me. I felt like it got much better once you had Rosemary and Leland there. I thought that they just really added some energy, and I don't know, because I just liked them so much. They were funny. They were somebody I could relate to more than to Elizabeth or Jack, and I thought that that made the show quite a bit better once they joined.
I'll be completely honest with you. Season two was torture for me. I was so glad that I was binge watching it, because I couldn't. Oh, yeah. If I had been going week to week, I would have just been so hopeless feeling. But luckily, yeah, I made it through. And now I can go back and say, okay, I like this about season two. I like this about season two. And I agree, Lee and Rosemary, you know, those two characters are just amazing. And I heard Pascal, or was it Kevin? I can't remember which one, but one of them said in an interview with Edify Films that neither one of them did a chemistry test with the other. It was complete coincidence. So they were, yeah, they were absolutely fantastic. I will admit that I loved season one, because I, once again, hopeless romantic.
Yeah. And how did you feel about how they handled season five with the with the big big Jack death.
Ooh. Drama. Well, so here's the funny thing. I had given birth about 2 or 3 weeks prior.
Oh my gosh.
To my son, Jonathan, whom I call Jack.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
So it was a hard recovery. My daughter gave me a cold, and so it was a very, very emotional and physically draining time anyway. And so then I saw the episode before, and I thought there was still a chance that they had thrown a curveball. Uh-huh. You know, maybe she just didn't let the Mountie finish. Maybe he was okay. And then I watched the episode, and I was sobbing. You would have thought that I had lost a family member. I was crying and sobbing, and I was inconsolable. Uh-huh. And that would happen periodically over the next several weeks. I think that they did the best that they could with the situation, because in my personal opinion, recasting him would have just been awkward. Mm-hmm. With the screen chemistry that Daniel Lissing and Aaron Krakow developed and were so famous for, it would have felt odd to recast him. It wouldn't have been the same. And then, you know, how else would Jack leave? He wouldn't just leave her because their love was too strong.
My problem is that I felt like the show is a very romantic show in the sense of the romantic period, with where you would have like people dying of a broken heart, you know, like very you know, over the top kind of romantic gestures, things like that. And that's, to me, the show is very is very classical romanticism. And I felt like the ending was clunky, and I felt like it was cold. And I think that what I would have done, if, you know, and everybody can play a second, but thing I think would have made sense for the show is to film one scene where you have, he gets scarlet fever, right? Or something like that. And you have her holding his hand, and it's more sort of a, and he says his last words. And that, to me, feels so much more in keeping with the tone and the feel of the show, as opposed to a Mountie coming up on a horse with a telegram. That, to me, seemed very cold to me, and it didn't fit with the show. And I think that that it was very poor planning. If they really knew 18 months before that he wanted to get off the show, then why on earth would you not have that wedding sooner? That makes no sense to me. And you can have that. I mean, I think they should have done the wedding for the Christmas special. I mean, at the very least, if not in the finale of the previous season. So that way the Hardys can have more than 2 episodes with them married. I mean, it wasn't well done, I don't think. It wasn't well planned. It wasn't well, I felt like the people that were fans of the show deserved better than a Mountie on a horse with a telegram. That, to me, did not fit with the show at all. So, anyway, that's kind of my little spiel on it, but I was never that invested like you were in the Jack and Elizabeth relationship. I enjoyed more sort of the ensemble of the show more, and so it didn't bother me as much, but I just didn't feel like, I felt for the people that were fans, because I felt like it wasn't handled very well, and I feel like a lot of the people involved were very kind of, I don't know, not the best about how they handled the constructive criticism about it, which was frustrating. But anyway, Anna, that's what happened. It's very interesting, because then they had the whole Lori Loughlin thing this last season, and that, I think, was handled way better. I think that, I mean, it's a different situation, I think that it was just so seamless. I could not believe that they were able to edit her out of so much of the show and make it just like, she's a major character. I was amazed that they did that so well.
Yeah, they did really well with that. I think that the biggest thing that we have to consider is that there are a lot of channels that they had to go through and hoops that they had to jump through to make everything work. I fully agree. I would have liked to see the wedding sooner because I know a lot of people who are of the opinion that once the characters marry, the romance stops. And that's a lot of times how shows play, is the end of the show is the wedding. And no, the romance carries on. Life carries on. It's how you handle challenges together. And so I definitely would have loved to see more married time with Jack and Elizabeth, but there are channels going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. There are, you know, filming schedules that we don't know what they are. So yeah, maybe it could have been better, but I think they were trying to handle an incredibly heart-wrenching situation because they knew that every hearty in the world was going to be horribly devastated when Daniel Lessing left. And that was, you know, he was ready to move on and pursue other dreams and other projects, and good for him, but it was going to be difficult. So I don't know. I was not over the moon with how it was handled, but I wasn't going to be horribly angry at anybody either. And yeah. I also think that the way that they have incorporated Jack's memory into season six has been absolutely incredible.
And the
handling of the two suitors where Jack is concerned has been amazing. So I've been very pleased with that.
Yeah, I thought the season six was excellent. I liked how it felt more of an ensemble show than other seasons. And you got to sort of know some characters that maybe you hadn't had as much time with before.
I agree.
I was just so impressed with everything that they did with the whole, like I said, the whole Lori Loughlin thing. I thought that they handled that perfectly. I could not believe how seamless it was. It was amazing to me that you can cut out a major character and have it just be flawed. Like, no idea. I mean, we were all looking to see if we could see her at, you know, in crowds or anything, and no. So that was very impressive. But anyway, yeah, so they did a good, you know, good job, and I think that they won a lot of people over with that sixth season despite the challenges with Lori.
I agree.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
All right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Yeah. Anyway, so there you go. It's kind of our history with One Calls the Heart. You can check out all of our podcast recaps of the last two seasons of One Calls the Heart, including the movies. I'll put a link in that playlist down below. But now we're talking When Hope Calls is the main reason for this podcast.
Let's do it.
So this is a spinoff of When Calls the Heart, and it is going to be airing on Hallmark Movies Now. And how do you feel about that, the fact that they are creating a spinoff for a streaming service that you have to purchase?
I mean, I'm a little biased because I'm broke at the moment. So I am getting the app to watch the show, and I have ordered it. So it is a little bit more difficult simply because my husband and I are trying to save money for a lot of different things. And
yeah.
So it makes it difficult, but I know that you have to share the wealth, and we have to be able to spread things around to the different channels and the different apps to get everything up and running.
Yeah. So I just wish that they would, I know it must be complicated with rights and stuff like that, but I wish that they would put the movies that air on Hallmark Channel onto the streaming service. That way I wouldn't have to worry about having it on my DVR. I could just have the streaming service and that would be it. You know, I wish it was more.
That would be awesome.
Like its own separate thing. Because honestly, if they could make this Hallmark sufficient, you know, like that you could get all the Hallmark content all on this one app, kind of like say they're doing with Disney Plus. If they could do that, then I wouldn't even need Comcast except for internet. It would be great. I could just have this because I have like others, you know, I have CBS All Access. I have, you know, this is the age of the streaming wars. And so, you know, it's almost a given that they're going to do it. I am kind of impressed by the quality of what I'm seeing. I thought that that the preview show that Kevin McGarry did, I don't know if you got a chance to watch that.
I did.
Yeah, but the preview show, I thought it was one of the best produced and executed preview shows that Hallmark has done. I mean, usually those preview shows are so cringy and so like are not like natural at all. And then they bring in the puppies for no reason. And and this was way better, I thought. And I was like, wow, they're really, and then you look at that set that they did and we're going to talk
about. Oh, it's amazing.
That. Yeah, I'm like, wow, they're really putting money into this, like as much as One Calls to the Heart, if not more so, honestly. It looked really nice. And I do appreciate that this isn't just some kind of spin-off kind of cash grab. It feels
it's
like
not a throwaway.
Good. Yeah, which I think is cool. And so, yeah, I know it's tough. Most of us these days have 3-4, you know, because I got Hulu and then I'll have Disney Plus and then I'm gonna have Netflix and it just start to pile on after a while.
Definitely.
But anyway, so this starts August 30th and we're gonna have two episodes together and we're gonna try to recap after every episode. We're gonna do our best and it's gonna go every Friday through October 25th. And so that should be pretty fun. Our goal is going to try to have to record the recaps on Saturday morning and then post them either on Saturday or on Sunday, depending on how much time I have that particular day. And so that should be really fun. And yeah, what was your, so you saw the preview show. What was your overall sort of feel about the show? Are you pretty excited about it?
Well, really quick, I just wanted to put in one thing that unless plans change, there's a tweet fest planned. Ooh. For anybody who's interested. It's going to be on the 30th starting at 5 p.m. Pacific time.
Oh, great.
So if you want to, yeah, if you want to join in on that, 5 p.m. Pacific time on the 30th, you can start watching and we can start a tweet fest.
Do you know what hashtag they're using?
So hashtag When Hope Calls, hashtag Hardee's, and then a couple of handles, probably Hallmark Movie. Yeah. Hallmark Movies Now. Mm-hmm. And I think Heart and Home, the Canadian channel.
Oh,
I can't remember the official name of it, but yeah, Heart and Home.
Okay, so I'm putting that in my calendar. Yeah, they spent 11 weeks to construct this set, and they have a whole town that they have made, and they built it from the ground up, unlike the Jamestown set that they use for One Calls the Heart. So, I mean, this was a really big effort, and then they have the orphanage house. They have another barn or something?
A ranch house,
okay, yeah.
A ranch and a barn that belongs to the character Chuck and his mother, Tess.
Mm-hmm. And I think that it's looked really impressive. I thought that house looked amazing, especially the orphanage. It looked really good.
I'm pretty sure that the orphanage is their biggest set.
And yeah, it supposedly is over nearly 3,000 square feet.
Yeah, amazing.
The orphanage. So that's pretty cool. And there's a whole office for the Mountie. And
did you love that part of the preview?
That was pretty funny.
With Kevin McGeary saying, well, office is a strong word. I mean, when we last saw him, he was still sharing with Bill, poor guy.
Right, yeah. Yeah. And so we got introduced to the two lead characters in One Calls the Heart, Greatest Christmas Blessing. What did you think of that special? Did you like it?
Yeah, and I thought that I really loved the backstory of Lillian and Grace because it was very intriguing and we didn't know too much about it, but we were given just enough to get the idea and we knew that something was coming with them. And so they left enough to mystery that would make us interested to go and watch, but we knew enough about them to start to love the characters.
Yeah, there was some really cute stuff in that episode. It was one of my top 10 of Countdown to Christmas last year. I thought it was really well done, especially Opal giving up Brownie.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I was in tears. I was in tears when Opal gave up Brownie. It's the sweetest thing ever, but I'm going to miss Brownie.
I know. Well, they didn't really ever talk about it again in the season. I kind of wish they had. But yeah, it was really, really cute. And yeah, so Lillian and Grace, and you find out that they were orphaned as kids, as toddlers, and one of them was adopted, and one of them wasn't. So they were separated, and now they've reunited as adults, and their goal is to have this orphanage that they're going to raise. And do they have any other source of income? Is like the state funding this orphanage? Do we know? Or are they going to?
It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like this is their source of income. How they are going to make that income, I don't know. Part of it is that they are putting the orphanage in Lillian's adopted family's house. Uh-huh. This is her old home that they're putting it in. And so that's going to save money on facilities. But it doesn't sound like there's any other source of income. I could be wrong.
There's not a farm or ranch of any kind there at the orphanage. So they have to make, in order to pay for the children, they have to have some kind of income.
I would assume that there's going to be something because I don't know about financial aid back in the day of the 1900s, but I would assume that
just get some kind of grant or something.
Yeah, that there would be some kind of governmental help. I don't know a thing about Canadian government back in that time, so
right.
I'll have to ask my sister-in-law. She's Canadian.
Yeah,
so. I'll quiz her. I'll quiz her on her Canadian history.
And so the town is called Brookfield, and this supposedly set in 1916. So early turn of the century there. And so Jocelyn Hoden plays Grace.
Right.
And she said that about the show, it will be why they love One Calls the Heart, but I think we made it a little bit our own.
I noticed that too.
Yeah, it's the same values that One Calls the Heart has with a new twist and new characters. And we know that she is, it was kind of funny to me because she describes herself, she describes Grace as happy, optimistic, and positive, which made me laugh because that's the same thing three times.
Yeah. She is so cute. Jocelyn Hoden is so cute.
She did also say quirky, but it was just funny to me. I'm like, you just described happy three times, optimistic and positive. But I really like her. I liked her in The Greatest Christmas Blessing, but then she was in this Friend to Fiance in May.
I saw that.
See that, yeah. And I thought she was so good in that. I thought she was so nerdy and cute, and I loved her laugh. And so she really won me over, and I'd love to have her on the podcast one of these days.
Oh, but, yeah.
So I think she's going to be really fun. And it seemed like her and Morgan Cohen, who plays Lillian, I think they're going to have nice chemistry together. And she's the one who was adopted. So she's like a little bit more, I think, secure, and but also sort of nervous about trying to welcome Grace into the town and into the house, and making sure, you know, she searched for her sister, finally found her.
And she's the older sister. So she feels... She feels that older sibling responsibility.
Yeah, yeah. And we don't know how many kids, in the preview, they didn't really talk about the kids at all, the orphanage kids.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, that would be fun. I guess that's something we'll get to and see. I mean, we had some in the preview show. I mean, in the Christmas Blessing, we had some cute kids.
And that was one of my questions. I want to know, where's Millie? They made this big deal about Millie and her sister. And I have a friend who was convinced that Henry Gowan was going to make the crossover into When Hope Calls from When Calls of the Heart. I said, no way. He's not going to leave When Calls of the Heart. And she said, nope. He's going to go adopt Millie and her sister, and he's crossing over to When Hope Calls. I said, I guess we'll see.
I am kind of surprised that they didn't build the show around one of the cast members. And maybe it was just that, you know, they just lost two cast members. I don't know what went into that decision, but that's usually how spinoffs work. Is most spinoffs, like, you'll have Mary Tyler Moore show, and then Rhoda gets her own show, and then that's a spinoff, and Lou Grant gets his own show, that's a spinoff, Phyllis gets her own show, spinoff. And so that's usually how spinoffs work, is they take a lead character from one show, or like Joey from Friends, you know, and usually they're terrible, but they take a character from a successful show, they separate them from that show, they have them leave, and then they build a whole new show based on this other character. I mean, the best example is probably Frasier, because he was a character on Cheers, and then they spin it off into his own show. And so I am a little bit surprised. The one that I could have seen that would have been the spinoff is maybe, I kind of thought for a while it might be Carson. Was the one that I thought, oh, maybe because there was, I don't know. Once they started the romance, and I was like, oh, probably not. But he seemed like somebody who could have been a candidate. But I was surprised they didn't go that way.
I think that this style is going more towards what they did with the TV series JAG. I don't know if you saw that starring Catherine Bell back in the day.
Yeah.
But this is the same kind of thing that they did with JAG. There was JAG for a really long time, and then they did a crossover episode with the new characters from NCIS. And so they brought in the NCIS characters on the JAG episode, then they went off and did NCIS. They started that, and they had some JAG characters go and make appearances on NCIS. So I think that's I think that's the style that they're doing here, because if you noticed in the preview special, we got the character of Nathan, we got the character of Rosemary, we got the character of Lee, and that's the only three we saw, but who knows who else is going to show up in Brookfield by the time the series is done.
Do you think that Elizabeth is coming? I don't think so. I feel like they would show her.
Probably. I don't think that she would come this season, but who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, and poor Erin Krako, she's going to be pretty busy if you check out her schedule in the next, for the next year. She's going to be a busy lady. So we'll cut her a little slack.
And so we find out that there's going to be a fire at some point in the season. And that Grace is getting all the children, making sure they're safe. And then Lillian is even at the point of going after, I guess, into the fire. I don't know. Something like that. So they're very concerned. And that's the reason why Rosemary and Lee end up coming, is because there was a fire and they come and bring the lumber and they're going to help rebuild and everything like that. So
Pascal Hutton said, in true Rosemary fashion, she said, not only are we going to provide the lumber, but we're going to deliver it.
Yeah. So,
and I'm paraphrasing, but
right.
I thought that is so Rosemary, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so cute. Yeah, I love that. And I was kind of thinking when they first showed clips, I was like, "Ooh, she is like looking very chummy with that little boy orphan." Like, but I would find it hard to believe that they would do something that big of having Lee and Rosemary adopt a child on When Hope Calls, because that's like such a big plot element that I don't think they would do that in a spinoff. But I thought at first, but then it looks like in sort of other clips, though, they're not. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how all that plays. And it'll be fun to, of course, see them because they're my favorite. So it'll be fun to see them on the show. And I thought Kevin Murray did a great job. And I don't think that he was quite able to sort of shine as much as he will be maybe in the next season, I think. When Calls the Heart, just with all the break, and it kept it forever before we finally saw him. And but anyway, he was great at doing the preview show. And
I remember the break happened right before his introduction episode, his introductory episode, yeah, was supposed to air. And I just went, no, right before we're going to meet the new Mountie, you got to be kidding me. And then we had to wait over a month. So, and he was definitely the quieter of the two suitors. I've heard tell, don't quote me on this, but I've heard tell that Alfonso, the show's runner, the showrunner, uh-huh, he said that the reason why Elizabeth asked Lucas to dance at the end was because he pursued her more. And it's definitely true.
Yeah.
Nathan was quieter. Nathan was much more held back. He also had a niece to look after. And, you know, I personally am not sure about which team I'm on, Team Lucas or Team Nathan. But I will say this, that looking after a child and raising a child that is not his own, he already has a lot of brownie points, because if he and Elizabeth do end up together, then it's going to, he's already had that practice of raising a child and loving a child that is not his own. So
yeah, that's true. I liked both of them. I thought they were both fun. I love Chris McNally. I think he's so handsome.
They really did a good job of keeping it even.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. So that'll be interesting to see. So speaking of love interests and in general, we have love interests on When Hope Calls. So we have Chuck Stewart, who is the town vet, played by Greg Havanesian.
And I do not know how to say that.
I know. And he takes care of this ranch, and he's definitely sort of the sort of flirty moments with him and Grace. And his mother is Tess, who we'll talk about in a bit. It's a little bit of, they've got kind of a little bit of a Romeo and Juliet kind of thing sort of going here a little bit, with family feuding and whatever going on between them. And he's pretty charming. What do you think?
Yeah, Greg said that the interactions with Grace and Chuck are between two headstrong people who have an opinion. And you watch the clips and you think, uh-huh, yeah. these two are going to be very interesting to watch. I watched a clip that involved Chuck coming over to thank Rosemary for the lumber that she and Lee are providing, and Rosemary and Grace are sitting at a table together, and then up comes Chuck, and Grace is leaning on the table and her elbow slips because she's so busy looking at him. I thought really cute.
And I think that Jocelyn will be really fun with all that, because she is so sort of nerdy and cute.
Yeah, and I just thought, not your most headstrong moment, but that's more your quirky, flirty moment. It was pulled off so well in the perfect Jocelyn manner. You know, it was so well done.
And then we have a love interest for Lillian, and this is Gabriel Kinslow, played by Ryan James Hatanaka, something, sorry.
And I think it's Hatanaka.
Hatanaka, okay, cool. Yeah. So he plays the town Mountie. He has a horse named Apollo. Mm. He I guess he has been gone from the town. He's been gone from Brookfield for a time. Now he's back, sort of just getting into the flow of things. He's got this office. He described himself as being a problem solver. And we don't know, you know, what he's, where he has been gone from, you know, this absence, that if he's been, you know, out doing some stuff similar to Jack, or what, he might even know Jack, who knows? We have no idea.
That would be cool. Yeah. That would be cool. On my blog, I'm a fan fiction writer at the moment. And well, not at the moment, I should say. I've done fan fiction in the past. And one of the things, one of the stories that my friend Sarah and I wrote was the story of Nathan coming to town as one of the Mounties that Jack had saved. And so we talked about how would his age work and all of that. And the story is on my blog. And so we can provide the link for that.
Yeah, definitely.
But that was something that I thought would have been amazing, would be having that connection. And so if RJ is what he calls himself, Ryan James, if RJ's character, Mounty Gabriel, turns out to be somebody who knew Jack, I think that would be a perfect way to infiltrate that whole idea without it being too close to home.
Yeah, I agree. And I think at the very least, he's going to have some kind of relationship with Mounty Nate.
Oh, absolutely.
Kevin McGarry's character, for sure. They will work together. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's at least some kind of reference to, I worked with Jack or something like that. It would make sense to me. But, you know, we'll see, I guess.
And it looks like he's paired up with Lillian, which I think is going to be really fun to watch.
Yeah, I think that one's going to be sort of more of a sweet, less sort of rivalry kind of opposites attract. I think it's going to be more of like a sweet romance.
Well, and I also think that because of Lillian's serious and more determined personality and the way that she's the older sibling and she's always worried. They said that in the Greatest Christmas Blessing is you're always worried. And so just the way that she is so cautious and takes care of everything, that it makes perfect sense that she would fall in love with a Mountie, someone who stands for order and who takes care of things. And RJ described his character as having an inquisitive mind, and he's going to figure things out. And so it makes perfect sense to me that those two would be paired up.
I think so too. And I think they'll be a good couple. So I'm looking forward to that. And so let's talk about Tess Stewart. So this is Chuck's mother, played by Wendy Crewson. She runs the town. She's a landowner, so people kind of have to listen to her. She wears pants. She's very like independent, and she owns a bunch of cattle. She's wealthy, and certain scene she's selling a cow to Grace. And right. Grace is trying to kind of haggle with her, and she's just like not having any of it. I guess she's not interested in Chuck dating Grace in any way or any kind of interest with there. She's, you know, kind of she's going to be an antagonist kind of character, I think.
Yeah, I think she's the season one Gowan from When Calls the Heart. That's what it appears to be.
I don't think she'll be that bad.
No. Not that bad. But I read and I saw that there's bad blood between Lillian's adopted family and her family. And Wendy Crewson said that she's a character that has no time for silliness. And that is a direct quote.
Yeah. So, I think she'll be like difficult and... I don't know, maybe similar to Josie Bassett's character a little bit, but she even is more of a criminal, I guess, but just in tone and feel, I think, on When Calls the Heart. But yeah, I know something a little bit different, I think. She's just going to be kind of cranky, I think, and difficult, but I don't think she's going to break any laws or anything like that.
Oh, I don't think she'll break any laws, but she's definitely feared. is what she described. Is she runs that town. She says, this is my town. Mm. And yeah, she's going to be a force to be reckoned with, definitely. Yeah. Which is really funny because she said at the very end of her little spiel in the preview special that she loves the message of hope and she loves the message of community. And I found that so funny.
Yeah, I do too.
Her character is probably going to stand for the exact opposite, but she herself just loves the message of hope and loves the message of community and people helping each other. And I said, fabulous.
Well, she might know about some form of redemption that's going to happen. We don't know, that was kind of interesting the way that, well, you know, nobody's a true villain, really, on When Calls the Heart. I mean, maybe some of those outlaws that are, they were holding up, but...
Oh, the Tolliver gang, they are outlaws all the way. Yeah. Criminals to the bone.
Right. So then the last person that we have to talk about, major cast, is Maggie Parsons, who's played by Hanneke Talbot. She is the town nurse. She's new to the town, and she is British, which is kind of exciting.
She's a Brit playing a Brit for once.
I know.
Wow.
Because up until now, you know, obviously Daniel Lissing hid his accent in the rest of the other, you know, people were hiding their accents. And so that's kind of interesting that they, you know, have her keep the British accent.
Yeah. And she's described as resourceful, genuine, and modern, that she's 100 years ahead of her time. So that's going to be interesting to watch. How do you do that? How do you have a nurse who's 100 years ahead of her time, at least mentally? So that's going to be fun.
Because it's kind of a pretty big contrast to Faith, who's more, maybe when she first started, Faith was a little more independent, but I feel like she's sort of more like sweet and calm and everything now. And here you have in When Hope Calls, you have this nurse who's very independent and very forward and modern and everything like that. And so it's going to be a fun dynamic to see her as one of the characters. She's probably going to be somewhat similar to an Abigail type character in the sense of she's like Grace and Lillian are going to have their obvious romantic, you know, partners or whatever, whereas both Maggie and Tess are going to be sort of these pillars in the town, whatever, they kind of bounce characters off of, if that makes sense. Like Abigail was always a character that you could kind of pair with anybody, you know, mm-hmm. and have her be in a plot with Elizabeth or be in a plot with Gowan or being a plot with Rosemary. It didn't matter. She could kind of fit because she was right there in the middle of town. And I think that's probably kind of what they're going to do with Maggie.
Yeah, so. Maggie definitely seems that she could go anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's going to be fun. I'm excited to see just some fresh energy, a fresh take on these sort of stories. I like the cast. I think it seems very well cast. I think the set seemed very well done. And so... I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun.
Speaking of the set, did you hear that little spiel that one of the producers, I cannot remember his name, but one of the producers talked about that on set, they have a 1910 Model T.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it is the only one in existence that was built in the 1900s in Canada. It's the only one left in existence that is the original 1900s Model T, the 1910 Model T that was built in Canada, and it's the only one left in existence. Yeah. I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And it still ends working. It's
yeah.
Working. Yeah. So that was cool. All right. Well, so we had a few little thoughts from our friends on Twitter about the show. So I'm just going to share them. So we have Lauren, she says, excited, show looks great, and Jocelyn Hooden is adorable. Also, this preview special was so much better than all the others, agreed. Felt a lot more natural, and the behind-the-scenes stuff was so interesting. Yeah, I think we both agree with that. Like, the preview show was way better. So then Lisa, our co-host, she says, I'm going to watch the first episode and go from there. I fell off when Calls the Heart wagon after season three, so I'm going in with zero expectations. So there we go. Ann Riddle says, I would be more excited if I could actually afford a HMN. Right now, I'm focusing on paying off my student loans ASAP. Hopefully, I will be able to invest in Hallmark movies now after that debt is paid off. And I know a lot of people are feeling that, and I totally, totally get that.
That's what that's the boat I'm in, so I'm with you, girl.
Yeah. So hopefully maybe you enjoy just listening to the recaps and getting a little bit of it that way. And then last is the When Calls the Heart blog. She says, I'm really looking forward to this season. It reminds me of When Calls the Heart season one, and that's my favorite season. So there you go. That's the thoughts out there. And so I'm looking forward to it. If I had to give it a rating, I would say, I don't know. I'd give it like a 9. I'm pretty excited about it. I really am. 9 out of 10.
I agree.
Excitement scale.
Yeah. When it first started coming out with the previews and hearing about it, I stayed far away because I didn't think I was going to be able to be a part of it.
Right.
And I didn't think I was going to be able to watch it. So I stayed away from almost everything. I joined the Facebook group When Hope Calls, but I didn't really go on to it very much. And then I got invited to be part of this podcast, and I said, well, I guess I better change that. And so then I started looking up all the things I could find, and I started reading it, and I watched the preview special, and I said, okay, officially excited now. Yep.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah, I agree. When I first heard about it, I was like, oh, I don't know. Part of that was selfish because I'm like, more work for me as a podcaster. I have to cover all.
And spinoffs are such a gamble.
They really are
a gamble, because you hear the word spinoff and immediately, usually it's a negative connotation. You just think, oh, trying to get more money, trying to do this, trying to do that. But I think they've done a really good job from what I can see. I saw a picture that Patty Bird had posted of Brian Bird and Michael Landon Jr. with Morgan and Jocelyn there on the set, and said, Michael Landon Jr. and Brian Bird are working hard. I said, I bet they are. Oh, my word. Yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah, they've got their personal hand in it, which, you know, you gotta love Michael and Brian. If they got their hand in it, you know it's going to be good, and it's going to have quality, and it's going to be something that we will enjoy as Hardys, as Hallmarkies, all of that.
So let us know what you think. If you're listening, let us know what you think of the show, both after it airs, but also your excitement level. And we would love to hear your thoughts in the comment section or on Twitter. We would love to hear if you're excited, as excited as us, or not excited. Let's have a discussion. It'll be really fun. And so, Cammie, where can people find you on social media and on your blog?
You can find me at Cammie Drama Girl on Twitter. You can also find me on Facebook, Cammie Townsend Clements. And my blog is hookedhardy.com. And I love feedback. I love ideas of things that you'd like to hear or read discussed. Love all of it.
Great. And make sure you're following the podcast at Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media, iTunes and YouTube. If you're listening on iTunes, please give us your ratings and reviews. If you're watching on YouTube, give us a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel, and please subscribe to my channel, Rachel's, and please follow me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes and YouTube. Check that out. I would really appreciate it. Family movie night reviews every single Monday night. So I love that. And so this was so much fun. It's so great to meet you and talk about the show.
Yes, thank you for having me.
I'm so looking forward to the upcoming season. And so Thanks again. And please consider becoming a patron. We talk about all these different shows, and we have giveaways that anybody is eligible for, as well as our Facebook group. So check that out. I'll have a link in the description all about it. So thanks again. And we'll talk again later this week after the first and second episode airs. It'll be really fun. All right. Bye.
Bye, everybody.